Welcome back to Mind Matters with Mia. On this podcast, I talk to students and teens about their very own mental health journeys. Today on the podcast, I'll be talking to Shanze Hassan, who is a junior in high school. Shanze is going to share her story about coming out as lesbian and how it affected her mental health. This episode is vulnerable and emotional, and I really hope you learn a lot and get something out of it. I also wanted to give a content warning because there are a few mentions of sexual assault. I hope you enjoy. Here's Shanze. Journey coming out as lesbian slash queer, and we'll be discussing how this affected your mental health. And again, I'm just so happy to have you on to talk about something that's super important, especially I didn't even like plan this, but today is National Coming Out Day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, so just to start, do you mind just briefly telling me your story?
Yeah, so basically I was born in Pakistan. I spent my first few years there, and then we moved to California. So I grew up speaking English, even though my first language wasn't English.
Yeah.
Because I'm half Chinese and half Pakistani, a lot of the time they're like clouded by traditional beliefs. And so it's kind of hard to be the one person who like, you know, doesn't like guys. So when as I grew up, my grandmothers on both sides actually would always ask me what type of guy I was going to marry. And, you know, I honestly had no idea what to say to that. But more importantly, I think like when it comes from your own parents, it's really, really hard until you can muster up the courage, but also, like learn more about yourself over time, because I definitely thought I was straight up until last year. So yeah, that was it was kind of like an epiphany for me. I was in the car and I was just like, oh my god, I like girls. That's just how it went. My sister, she came out as bisexual to me when I was younger. I didn't really know what that meant. She asked me if I might be in the LGBTQ plus community, and I said no. I was very sure that I was straight. But a lot of it is just kind of denial. You know, just like that's not an option I grew up with. It's something that is kind of a default. Being heterosexual, especially in Chinese and Pakistani culture. Mental illness runs in our family. It's very hereditary. I don't think there's one single person in my family who does not have some sort of mental illness. And it ranges so much from things like depression to schizophrenia to bipolar disorder and BPD and all sorts of things, and and eating disorders, and so yeah, it's definitely prominent. Not only that, but like I also had gone through a lot as I grew up, and it did shape the way I perceived myself and thought, you know, about myself. So as I grew up, I was attracted to males, but not because I wanted a future with them, but it was because I wanted to be them, because, okay. You know, because to me, they appealed to girls, and yeah. It's such a hard connection to make until you realize how it really was. Like, yeah. I would copy a lot of the styles, and I still do this, of a bunch of guys, and I would, and it's just for the sake of like trying to be like more appealing towards girls. And and I really had no idea that I was gay. And I remember maybe 2 years ago, I buzzed my hair. And in the Pakistani culture, especially, because in Chinese culture, hairstyle is a little more diverse, but in Pakistan, like what's considered beautiful is beautiful long thick hair. And so even having, like, even cutting my hair to shoulder length would be, was looked down upon. And I would go there, and the first thing that they would say would either have to be having to do with my weight or, like, having to do with my hair. Mm-hmm. And the toxicity comes in, not only just because they kind of, that's the first thing they see when they see me, you know what I mean? Like, I yeah. flew across the world to see you, and this is the first thing you're going to say to me. But it's also like the kinds of things that follow it. Like, you need to grow your hair out because you look really bad with short hair. And so, and see, this is something I grew up with. This is super normal. This happened to literally every single female in our family.
Right.
With, yeah. So it's just like that. Yeah. It was normalized when I was younger. And then, like I said, I think one day I was coming home from group therapy, and this was after I had been in a really horrible situation. But that horrible situation did help me come out, and realize it myself. Mm-hmm. And when I realized it myself, like, it felt so liberating. It was, there's so much self-doubt, and there's so much shame, and there's so much, like, anxiety that and stigma that has to do with things like, mm-hmm. Homosexuality in our cultures, that it's like, it drags you down when you, as you grow older. And so it kind of felt like breaking through those. And so, throughout my life, I've been through, for my mental and emotional state, I've been to a lot of places. I've been to treatment centers. I've been to hospitals. I've been to, private therapy. And, but before that, like, I definitely did not feel safe at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister came out, and then that is kind of when I started opening up the idea of maybe accepting things about myself and not trying to force other things about myself. Also, I'm a Muslim, so when I was younger, I was unfortunately I was bullied a lot at school for that. A lot of different things, ranging from physical to emotional kind of things. And it really didn't get much better as I grew up. But what got better, I think, is I'm able to address these things in a more broad way now. Because before, yeah. I really just thought it was normal. This was like a couple months after I buzzed my hair, and so my hair was really short. And I was at school one day, and I used to go there early. And I was walking down the stairs to my English class, and then these two kids, they said something along the lines of, "Oh, you're that gay kid, right?" And see, this is not, I hadn't come out yet. I hadn't come out yet. I didn't think I was even gay. At first I didn't even think they were talking about me, because I just thought, kids are kind of annoying and talk about everything. But then one of them asked me why I wasn't responding. And again, I didn't think they were, I didn't think they were talking to me, and then shoved me, and I fell down the stairs.
Oh my God.
That was pretty traumatic. I think, yeah, that's the first time I had been, that's the first time I had been bullied for the way I look, other than like racist things as I grew up, and just kind of internalized racism and homophobia as I grew up.
Well, first of all, I can imagine, like, that seems awful, and having to go through like all those experiences, it kind of seems like it would cause this like pent up kind of like shame and anger, and it just doesn't seem, I think that's what contributes to like pent up mental things when that happens to you, especially like when you're younger. But just with this whole story, you touched on so many great things that I want to come back to later. But I just wanted to start in the beginning of the story. You were talking about how you had this denial, and when you did these things when you were younger that you didn't even realize were, like, before you even realized you were gay. Yeah. But now that looking back, you're kind of like, you're putting all the pieces together. So I just want to ask some more specific details about this process of like doing these things, and like before you came out, like what was your mental health like before you came out? I know you talked about like feeling liberated when you did. So what was it like before coming out? Because I can assume that there's kind of this like I was saying before, this like held in all these emotions and this like fear and shame. So like, what was it like for you?
So yeah, it was definitely cumulative. And it really just builds up inside of you. And so, when I was, I think I was so scared to be, I don't know, an outcast, because I wanted to be liked by people. I wanted people to like me, and I wanted them to enjoy their time with me. But I realized that I started kind of diverging from what I would usually do in order to fit kind of those standards. When I was about 13, that was when my depression started showing its symptoms. I was always very independent. Because I did things for myself. I made food for myself from a really young age. I cleaned, I did my laundry, I did other people's laundry. I did the dishes, and I continue to do those things now.
Mm-hmm.
If I have time and I'm not crying, but, yeah. And that's just something I kind of grew up with. And then I realized that, hey, like, yeah, I think that really affected the way I see things now and that I saw things when I first started not feeling well.
Yeah, so that kind of summarizes how your mental health was before. And it sounds like all those experiences with your friends and your family came together. That shaped your mental health. So how do you think you coming to terms with being gay and like coming out, how do you think that shifted your mental health, or how do you think the earlier experiences affected having to go through that?
So that's a great question. I would say the events right before I came out were most important. I had been going to a treatment center for months, and I had met this person, and unfortunately that didn't go very well, because I remember I was invited to his house for dinner because my mom couldn't pick me up right away, and it did not end well. He assaulted me, and unfortunately it was very traumatizing at the time. I wasn't in a good place, neither was he. Not an excuse, but I felt so confused and ashamed, and I was quiet. And when my mom came, I really tried to make it seem like I was not crying. Mm-hmm. So when my mom came, I just kind of like let it all out, and I told her what happened, and she was super supportive then. And the reason it was not consensual, well, it was not consensual for many reasons, but a big thing is that, you know, I'm not attracted to guys.
Yeah.
That's something definitely that made a huge difference, because I kind of just broke. I broke out of pressure. I was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And that's not a very fun place to be, honestly. but because I was in survival mode, I just kind of let go of everything. And in that time, I kind of gave up on trying to look
good in front of people or have people like me, because I couldn't even get up in the morning. I didn't have time to think about those things. And so as I spent more time with myself, I started realizing new things about myself, like more things that I enjoy, like, for example, playing guitar. I picked that up. And so that one night in the car, when I realized, it was the start of me opening my eyes to the fact that my value does not come from what people think of me. My value comes from how helpful I can be to other people and myself. And I think that is something that I'm still trying to learn. I think we all are. It's a very tough journey, and it's not linear. You go back and forth. And I had been going on a very good track of learning about myself and learning, and it was very peaceful. It was a very nice time. And I was ready to go back to school, actually, which was the beginning of this year. I think I started going back to school in January. And then I remember how happy and joyful I was, and how peaceful I was, because ultimately there are always going to be things that happen that are not fun, that are traumatic. And there were things that happened during that time that were traumatic, but I had all these other beautiful things to hold on to. And though it's only gone downhill from there, but again, like it's good to always like remind myself, like, you know, it is possible to be at peace with yourself. You just, maybe it's just, there are things that are out of my control that I cannot do to make myself feel better. And I just have to accept that.
Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing all of that. And I know it seems like it's something that's very hard to talk about. So I'm very grateful that you're open to talking about that today, because I know that's not easy to talk about. But just going back to like that question, it just sounded like there was a lot of things that kind of like led up to this moment.
Yeah, I kind of just snapped, and then all of a sudden, and because I just kind of went all blank, and I had nothing to lose. There was only one way to go from there. And luckily, I just continued to be a part of this amazing positive feedback loop of me learning about myself, being able to handle everyday challenges, and just doing things I enjoy, being with people I enjoy the presence of, and reading, and all these amazing things.
And it's good to hear that like you're able to find the good in things. Yeah, so I think I just wanted to go back, and so it sounds like it's been pretty good from there. I just wanted to ask again, like, so after you came out, is this being able to like be with people and find the good in things, like, is that after?
Yeah, that was after, because that was the start of my journey of becoming that way. Okay. Unfortunately, Corona hit and kind of stunted that process, and a lot of other things have happened in the past year, as you know, as we all know, and personally as well. And I've gone into worse places than I've ever been before. But there's still that piece of me. Well, number one, I learned so much from all the experiences I've had.
Yeah.
And learning about myself helped a lot, because then I understood what was going on. I understood, and then I could connect with people. And that is something super special that was one of the only things I could hold on to, and still can hold on to, are the idea that I have so much experience now that when I do get into really, really, really bad situations, even if they are worse than before, I still have that one piece of me, at least, that I know about myself. And
that includes sexuality. It's amazing how one piece of information about yourself that you learn is something that you can hold on to for the rest of your life.
Yes. Yeah, so just going back to like that original story you told, I just wanted to like touch on some other things that you said with your sister coming out. So how do you think her telling you about this affected your own, I guess, just like self-awareness or like you being more comfortable? Because I know you said like when she told you, you didn't even like have that idea in your head. So what was going on then?
I think that is something that I always kept in mind, but I didn't really, it didn't immediately or even in the long run really affect me until I realized that I was gay. Because before then, I did just think I was straight. The problem I had a lot after coming out was having to deal with the discrimination and stigma and all sorts of places in this, in the society, in this world. And because just knowing that I have an older sister who understands, who is older than me, she has experience, and she, you know, she will love me no matter what. I just knowing that there is someone out there, even though she is not gay, she's just bisexual, but we can connect on a level that really helped me embrace myself more.
That's really good to hear, you know, because like you had that at least like one person in that support system, especially like knowing it when you were younger, you know, like it had always been there, and like it kind of like opened you up to maybe just like being more comfortable, you know, like talking about it. Yeah, and so I know like I keep like going out of order and stuff. I just
don't worry about it.
New ideas keep coming. So like I know when you were talking about like having this epiphany in the car of like just knowing that you liked girls, like what was it like coming to terms with that? Before that, did you even have a little bit of an idea? And then after that, were you confused about it? Want to tell people right away? Like how was that for you?
Oh, it was just like it was a mess. It was everywhere. All of those things at once.
Yeah.
I think like I realized it. I was having trouble. I was very, very confused. I was like, wait a second, what?
Yeah.
And then the more I thought about it and the more I entertained the idea that this is a possibility, the more I was like, oh my God, wait a second. And so because I couldn't fully, again, I couldn't fully, even at that time, embrace, I think I came out as bisexual at that time. Okay. I came out as lesbian pretty recently, actually. I mean, everything has been pretty recent in the grand scheme of things, but I did think I was bisexual. that's the same thing. It's because it's kind of, for me, which this is 100% most of the time not the case for other people, but for me, I was still holding on to the idea that that if I like guys, I will be normal or loved or things like that, you know? And I didn't want to let that go because I didn't want to lose people, people's respect, and stuff like that, because I know that as I grew up, I was told all the time about Disney princesses with princes, kings and queens.
It's so hard because like when you grow up that way, and that's just like you said, it's like the default, it's the normal, and like if you're not that, then it's like this huge thing that people have to accept. But it's that's why it's hard. And I know you were talking about like this cultural stigma before, your family and like your grandparents, who are like probably like most grandparents are just very traditional, and lots of people are just not used to this. And it's hard because hearing all these things and having it be ingrained in your mind from such a young age that this is what happens, I'm sure when you started having the thought, maybe I like girls, that's what brings on that shame and confusion, because you're like, this isn't what is supposed to, quote unquote, happen. And why is this happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a lot of self-doubt. See, I've been just because of the way I grew up, and
kind of, and the people who surrounded me as I grew up, I always questioned myself first, and I always thought it was my fault. It was, to me, it was always my fault. I always questioned myself and my own values before I questioned somebody else's.
Right.
And
probably, like, so hard, you know, because just constantly putting it on yourself and the blame, and especially after everything you've been through, having to hold all that to yourself and having to keep that in, it's hard, and it kind of creates this, all of that that's held in affects your mental health.
Definitely, yeah. So I did get a good release, a good little burst of relief when I came out as bisexual. Mm-hmm. And then, well, my parents, I don't even know what to say. My dad is really, well, he was really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And my mom was very passive aggressive about it. Like, you know, she's just kind of is like that. And so it was hard for me to talk about it at all. I couldn't talk about it. Yeah. I would mention something like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah about pride or something. And then they would just, my dad would actually just like give me that little like tongue click, like the, and he would be like I was doing something wrong. I was saying something inappropriate. And that is also something that I had to overcome. But over time, they've gotten a lot better. And I started not caring, because I was like, I do not care if this disappoints you, because I have enough knowledge to make the conclusion that this information is not harmful.
Well, first of all, like, it's definitely hard to hear that your parents weren't as supportive in the beginning, but it's good that they've grown and can be, like, I guess, like, part of that support system for you, because that's so important to have people you can trust. And when you don't, then that really just creates a lot more issues with your own mental health and wanting to be able to talk to someone about it. It's definitely good that you kind of like came to that conclusion that you're like, well, I don't care if I'm disappointing you, because this is who I am, and you shouldn't be disappointed, you know?
And even though it took some challenges and obstacles to get there, like, it's just, it's something that fuels my confidence now in myself.
Mm-hmm. So I know you covered a lot of things, so just the last little thing, because I know we've been talking for a long time now, is kind of like the last little topic I wanted to cover is, what's the biggest thing that helped you like cope, or like helped your mental health during this time, before you came out, after all this time? What do you think is the thing that helped you the most?
Okay, so before I came out, it was the reason for my joy, the reason that I had such a youthful spirit, was definitely because of people. Mm-hmm. I can't say my blood-related family, because that's just how it is, but if you surround yourself with people that truly, truly love you and truly understand and will not use things against you and such, and it's just a mutual, unconditional love. And I think that I found those in like a little tiny, tiny group of friends. And that was enough to keep me together, to give me an escape, to let things go. And unfortunately, when they left, I had to lose that. But what I didn't lose was a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just utilizing those resources, like reaching out to people, reaching out to people you admire, reaching out to people just for the sake of talking to them, to understand things more.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting with people, that it's all about the community. It's all about who you surround yourself with, because if you do surround yourself with people who do not make you feel very good, then it's probably a good idea to find people who will build you up. And in this case, in terms of sexuality, like, I started following a lot of Instagram accounts, and I would kind of embrace the beautiful, beautiful culture of the LGBTQ plus community, and connect with it and love it. And that is a huge thing that has helped me kind of get over those bumps in the road, because I at least always had one person that I could talk to, even if it was just the person on a crisis hotline, because you can text them anonymously and just talk about anything. Mm-hmm. and not utilizing that earlier is a regret that it is definitely a regret, because it helps so much. It's scary, but it helps so much to reach out to people to get support.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say that just sounds really amazing that you're able to find the support system in this group of friends and like have this community. And that kind of does go into my last question, which is, what do you think any other people in the LGBTQ plus community who are struggling with their health need to know, or anyone who is just struggling with coming to terms with their sexuality? But it sounds like just having the support system is just such a great thing. But is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah. So this is not so much for closeted people, more people who want to embrace their sexuality a little more. You should never feel ashamed with surrounding yourself with a bunch of things that are gay. Like I was kind of, I'm done thinking about other people telling me what I can have in my room. Like, mm-hmm. If I want to hang pride flags in my room, I'm going to. And I bought them, and I decorated, and I embraced the rainbow. And that, doing that, I think the most important thing to know, if we're just talking about sexuality, is, or anything actually, is that it's completely okay to not know what the heck is going on. It is completely okay to be confused, and to have contradicting thoughts, and feel. Like I said in the story I told you, I said it's perfectly okay to one day feel more heterosexual and another feel more homosexual and so on. And it's perfectly okay to be confused. And I think one thing that I wish I knew before I came out was how to get in touch with people who made me feel safe. And I think also I wanted to mention that it was not only my friends, which I call them my family. So I have that little tiny group of friends, but I also, I had a family in my martial arts training, and my trainers in the Taekwondo studio that I went to. Mm-hmm. That was an outlet for me. I love martial arts. So that obviously is something that I could use as a release mechanism. And then going to group therapy, it was my safe place. And leaving there was super emotional because the people I met there too are also my family. That connection, that bond, that special, special bond that I can't really put into words. It's just, it's really, really, it's surreal. And that is definitely something. If you can find people who make you feel safe, or if you can find a place that makes you feel safe, or if you make your room a place where you feel safe, or do things that make you feel safe, there's no shame in not taking steps to get help. I think I get this a lot, is when people think that it's really bad if you don't ask for help. Mm-hmm. To an extent, it's reasonable, but you can't expect people to, who are going through a lot, to just simply ask for help. You can't expect anyone to. We're all human. So instead, I think it's more of a, whoever can, they should. Whoever can, should help everyone else, reach out to people, check in on them, and sincerely, because it is important.
Yeah.
And it's very important to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for whatever, whether it be not being able to ask for help or not being able to take steps to recover, whether that be medication or therapy, because all of it is incredibly difficult. The hardest part is being able to decide what to do, because it's torture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay if you're not ready to tell people, or if you're not ready for whatever, it's all right. And we've all been in places that are very, very dark. Sometimes we feel bad about that. You never have to feel bad about that. And forgive yourself if you lose hope, because it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process. It's definitely a process. So y'all take your time. And what's really, really, really enlightening is that people who have flourished from these experiences in terms of gaining peace within themselves, they're there, they're out there, and they will tell you that it's not that simple, and that you shouldn't have to feel bad for whatever, because it's only natural, and it's hell. You can't expect somebody in hell to try to work their way up by themselves. So I think for other people, we should like always be there for people, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, what they identify as, because ultimately, like, we all know that we all cannot do that ourselves.
Yeah, that was just a great note to end on. And I really like that part when you said it's okay to feel confused, and because, like, again, it's not a linear process. So
Exactly.
I love all of that so much. And thank you again so much. This was just really a great conversation.
Yeah.
I'm happy that your story will be able to reach people who need it most, or people who just want to learn more. So you are amazing. And I'm so happy we got to do this.
Thank you so much.
So many great things. Yes.
I just think it's so amazing what you're doing here. It's just super, super amazing. And it's an honor to be here to talk about my story and share it. And it's great. So keep going. It's awesome.
No, it's an honor for me to talk to you. I mean, I hope I did your story justice, because it's so powerful, and I just want it to be shared, you know, and I'm happy I can have the platform to do that a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. It's mutual.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a nice day.
You too.